The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from our secret underground studio in Olympia, Washington, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day you turned on your radio and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! All right. Greetings and welcome to the last Thunderbolt of the year. I'm recording this in my new bus, and rain happens to be pouring down at the moment. So if you're listening on good headphones and crank up the volume, you may be able to hear the rain hitting my roof. Yeah, so while the world has been experiencing some serious dire straits this last year, my personal life has been awesome. And I'll tell you more about that next week, which brings me also to the happy announcement that I will have a brand new show for you next week. And yes, I know it's been a while, but hopefully this will be worth the wait. Anyway, this show this week is also being posted on a fifth Friday, meaning that it's also time for the latest edition of the Thunderbolt's Greatest Strikes. Featuring some of the best of the best from our Thunderbolt archives. But first, a word from one of our main sponsors.
As youth find their educational and economic opportunities disappearing before their very eyes, perhaps it is time to think outside the box and consider alternative educational prospects that take into account the likely financial situation young people will soon find themselves facing. There is a unique opportunity that exists that will not only provide invaluable expertise for dealing with this bewildering new world in which you find yourselves thrust, but the experience itself is guaranteed to change your entire view of life. Yes, kids, I'm talking about Club Fed. Tell me, have you ever considered how you could stretch the family budget during those lean times at the end of the month if only you knew how to pick locks and neutralize alarm systems? Perhaps you would like to know how to supplement your slave wage by cooking a little meth in your spare time. Just think how handy it could be to know how to steal someone's identity and credit card numbers. Would you like to learn how to produce fire, alcoholic beverages, or lethal weapons under almost any condition or circumstance? Well, I'm happy to announce that Club Fed offers intensive graduate-level courses on all of the above subjects and many more in addition, and school is now in session. Yes, kids, in a move that reflects their genius, your government has concentrated most of the criminal masterminds throughout the entire country into confined, intensely personal spaces where they associate with no one but other criminals who have absolutely nothing to do but learn to hate the world even more than they already did and to share their trade secrets. Yes, kids, it's education by immersion. So relax, make yourself at home, slip off your cheap rubber slip-ons and loosen your chains. Just consider some of Club Fed's amenities. For instance, the menu. It's tasteless and largely inedible slop of a largely unidentifiable nature. Consider the cuisine. It exactly complements the menu. Our recreational activities include staring at walls and walking in circles. The services include 24-hour armed security, a change of bedding every few weeks, restroom facilities you can rest assured are cleaned after every few hundred uses. Nature lovers, you'll be amazed at the incredible diversity of the parasitic insect population and at the proliferation of disease-bearing microorganisms. You can enjoy dull and uninteresting conversation with the ignorant and untrained staff. You can put some edge in your life by spending every minute of every day surrounded by violent psychopaths. You have to watch out for some of the other inmates, too. Or, if you prefer, you can just relax and enjoy the scenic view featuring vast expanses of pretty razor wire glittering picturesquely in the sunset, the entire scene framed by the quaint little gun towers. And in addition to all that, you automatically become part of the prison industrial complex, which is the fastest growing industry in the United States. And best of all, I saved the best for last for you kids, there are neither women nor children nor any normal social interaction of any kind to distract you from your studies. You have all the time you need to devote to the learning the fine arts of thievery, corruption, and mayhem. Yes, kids. Come learn from the masters. Act now to take advantage of this special offer. Club Fed. It's a stop that you'll never forget. Thousands of positions are available immediately.
In April of 2011, we occupied the state capitol building here in Olympia. After 3 days, we were forcefully evicted, and about a dozen people were arrested. We made a lot of noise, we got a lot of press, and a lot of attention.
Edit.
And we scored a couple of legislative victories that we likely would not have been able to pull off without our occupation. But after the dust settled, almost everyone dispersed, and we didn't really accomplish much overall. Then, a few months later, the Occupy movement sprang into being. And we here in Olympia occupied heritage park. We were forcefully evicted several months later. We made a lot of noise. We got a lot of press and a lot of attention.
Edit.
And we scored a couple of legislative victories that we likely would not have been able to pull off without our occupation. After the dust had settled, though, everyone dispersed, and we didn't really accomplish much overall. Then, in 2012, the Idle No More movement sprung up. Now, I did not participate in the Idle No More movement directly, but they made a lot of noise. They got a lot of press and a lot of attention. And they scored a couple of legislative victories that they likely would not have been able to pull off without their movement. It would now seem, though, that they have largely dispersed and they did not really accomplish much overall. And now we have the Black Lives Matter movement and the Standing Rock movement. They are both still active, and their ultimate fates are yet to be determined. But it would not be out of line to expect a similar such trajectory. However, here is the thing.
Edit.
A lot of people made a lot of connections at the Capitol occupation, and it was there, in fact, where I originally began compiling the mailing list that eventually became the mailing list
Edit.
For the Thunderbolt. Yes, almost everyone moved on to other things, but a lot of people stayed in touch and continued working together on some of those other things.
Edit.
In other words, a network was created. It was the same with the Occupy movement. There are now a whole bunch of people
Edit.
Who are now activists who would not have been activists without the Occupy movement. And there are a whole bunch of occupiers now on the Thunderbolt mailing list that would not have been there
Edit.
If not for Occupy. Yes, most people moved on, but yet more networks were created. And I am confident the same thing happened with the Idle No More, and that this process is now happening with Black Lives Matter and with Standing Rock. We are all building networks. There are thousands of people in Olympia alone who are ready for action and just need a credible direction to go. And I am thinking that this very likely is the case all over the country. What I am hoping is that everyone is maybe
Edit.
Going to finally figure out that all of our battles are ultimately the same battle, and that all of these networks we have been building over the years will all then coalesce into a great final
Edit.
Movement where we can finally get 3% of us out onto the streets all at the same time. And then we can finally force them once and for all to either voluntarily dismount their high horses or to get knocked off of them and onto their asses.
Edit.
Since incredibly vile practices are routinely given innocuous and innocent-sounding names to make them seem a little less bad and nasty than they actually are, then this week, the Thunderbolt is proud to perform yet another public service for my listeners by presenting a conversion chart in order that you may translate modern terminology from political doublespeak into plain English. So when they call it collateral damage, what they really mean is murder. When they call it rendition, what they are actually talking about is kidnapping. When they call it enhanced interrogation, what they really mean is torture. When they say they misspoke, what they mean is that they lied. When they speak of a disposition matrix, what they are talking about is a secret kill list. When they claim they are providing humanitarian aid, what they mean is they are going to economically dominate, invade, or occupy. When they speak of a sensitive issue, what they mean is an embarrassing and/or an illegal issue. When they talk about consent, what they mean is that you had better agree or else. And now we interrupt the Thunderbolt to bring you a news flash. The Thunderbolt is most happy to report that the Spanish Inquisition may finally be coming to an end. To explain, here is the next installment of the Thunderbolt Stories of Historical Context. In 1035 CE, there was a Jewish pogrom in Spain. And a large number of Jews gathered upon a hill for protection. The nearby village thereafter became known as the Hill of Jews. Then, a few centuries later, when the Spanish Inquisition got going good, some wicked city fathers decided to change the name of their town. They changed it from Hill of Jews to Kill the Jews. And that has been the official name of this town to this day. Really? There is a town in northern Spain called Camp Kill the Jews. Or Castrillo Mata Judios. The town of Kill the Jews even has an official website. Now we are in the enlightened times of 2014. But I leave my pajamas to Billy Budapest, and I don't get the gist of you later. And the 60 residents of Kill the Jews have decided to vote on whether they should change the name of their town back to its original name of Hill of Jews.
I see no polling data, so I don't know if this measure is expected to pass. Though I wonder how difficult it would be to poll an electorate with 60 residents. But Lorenzo Rodriguez, who is the mayor of Kill the Jews, supports the name change. Mayor Rodriguez hopes to clear up his town's name. He is doing this in the hope that celebrating the Jewish history of Kill the Jews will help bring tourists into the region. And that is not a joke. He actually said all of that. Evidently, Mayor Rodriguez feels that a poster inviting people to kill the Jews would be counterproductive as far as attracting Jewish tourists is concerned. Not too far from Kill the Jews, there is also a valley called Kill the Moors. I haven't heard of any moves to change their name yet. Evidently, the ambitious mayors of Spain are not as worried about offending Muslim tourists. So how about we change the name of Olympia to Kill the Bankers?
Just kidding.
Actually, does anyone second that motion? And now we have a Thunderbolt update. The results are in. Kill of Jews has officially defeated Kill the Jews as the official name for the Spanish town. Yeah, it was a nail biter, but the final tally came to 29-19 in favor of the name change. So that's it. The Spanish Inquisition is finally over. Well, it's over everywhere except down the road in Kill the Moors, anyway.
Donald Trump is so bad in so many ways that it's probably impossible to even list all of the badness that is resulting from his idiocy's reign in the White House. Fortunately, though, Donald Trump is very bad at being bad. And the fact he is so bad at being bad is good, because he is so bad that if he were good at being bad, then that would be a level of exponential badness that would be even more incomprehensible than this sentence is. And so, this thunderbolt is called Baboons with Chainsaws. And no, that is not a new metaphor that I have made up to describe the Donald Trump administration. Though it would be completely appropriate for that use, and I now wish that I had thought of it. Anyway, regular listeners may remember that I recently aired a major thunderbolt mentioning some of the upsides that would accrue were humanity to begin devolving back to our ape origins. Well, it turns out that perhaps the apes are getting ready to replace us should we decide to do that. It turns out, in fact, that Seattle and Portland are not the only locales where vandals and thieves are marauding unchecked. It turns out, in fact, that there is a gang of miscreant primates in the Knowsley Safari Park.
For the way to come.
That's Knowsley, who have taken to vandalizing and stealing things from parked cars and then terrorizing parked visitors with various weapons, ranging from knives and screwdrivers to, yes, even a frigging baboon who is reportedly armed with a frigging chainsaw. Just when you thought that it was safe to go outside again. Fortunately, the baboon did not know he had to prime the carburetor, and thus he could not get the chainsaw started. Wait till they get their hands on a bazooka, though. Who knew that the Planet of the Apes was prophetic, lending more credibility to the accuracy of these reports is the fact that in spite of numerous eyewitness accounts and numerous photographs of armed simians, the Knowsley Safari Park officials keep insisting that armed apes are an urban myth. Right. It's time for a quick station break. We'll be back in just a minute.
This program is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. If this program makes your head explode or causes emotional distress, or if you suddenly feel as if life suddenly isn't worth living anymore due to the things you learn on this program, then you should blame yourself for the fact that you're such a wimp that you let the world push you around in such a manner, rather than blaming the producers of some radio show, much less blaming the radio station that is airing the show. And you should maybe soon become a Zen master and or a used car salesman and or an astronaut or whatever, rather than trying to educate yourself about things that are simply going to twist your worldview into a pretzel, making your continued existence on this plane problematic. If you have useful suggestions, or if you wish to participate in a meaningful debate, then bring it on. But otherwise, if you aren't going to help, then please just shut up and get out of our way, so that we can do what needs to be done. Have a nice day.
Welcome to the Thunderbolt for January 17th, 2014. This week, the theme is going to be good news, bad news. But first, I wish to start off this week's Thunderbolt by giving some props to some organizations, such as Médecins Sans Frontières, Amnesty International, Greenpeace, Occupy Sandy, Power, Pipe, Sidewalk, and on and on. You know who you are. And I wish to give them props for providing so much to so many for so long with so little. The Thunderbolt also wishes to give proper due to some corporations, such as Dow Chemical, Monsanto, General Electric, Goldman Sachs, and on. And I wish to give them props because their generosity makes such organizations necessary. Last, and possibly least, the Thunderbolt also wishes to thank the beef industry.
because thanks to you, beef is now so much more than just dead cow meat. And now, as promised, I have some good news. Over the last year, the top 1% got a whole bunch richer. Yay for them! Unfortunately, I also have some bad news, kids. The bad news is that the other 99%, us, continue to suck rocks. Too bad for us, I guess. Now, we should not complain about this. We should just rise above our own greedy, selfish concerns and be happy for the 1% that they are doing so well. Stupid is so much easier than being smart. And now, I have some Boeing news. The definition of a protection racket is when someone creates a danger and then charges people to protect them from the danger that they themselves created. Now, since that is exactly what Boeing, the second largest war profiteer on the planet, is doing to both the state of Washington and to their own workers, then take it from there. And by the way, even as Boeing extorts the largest individual tax break in American history from our seriously cash-strapped state, a state that has recently slashed funding for higher education and infrastructure and for programs absolutely vital to the disabled and to veterans and widows and orphans and the homeless. The state that built all the highways that Boeing uses to move their stuff. The state that pays for all the courts that protects Boeing's property. The state that educated Boeing's workforce for them. And even as Boeing systematically, coldly, and efficiently destroys the future for the children of the workers that created their fortune for them, Boeing itself is enjoying record profits of $1.09 billion, a 9% increase over last year. Now, in addition, the Boeing CEO, Jim McNerney, received a 15% raise in pay for a total of $21.1 million. Wow. Nice work if you can get it. If I didn't have the outlet provided by this radio program, then I would probably be screaming and banging my head against a wall by this point. So tell me, what do y'all do? Speaking of banging your head against a wall, I now have Bezos news. And speaking of failures to seriously freak out, why do I hear crickets chirping over the fact that Jeff Bezos, that famous practitioner of dog-eat-dog by eating all the other dogs' capitalism, the reviver of the Great American Sweatshop and Tax Dodger Extraordinaire. Yes, I'm talking about that Jeff Bezos. Go, Jeff, go. He has just almost simultaneously both purchased the Washington Post and inked a $600 million contract with the CIA. Yeah, the Washington Post has been a shill for the war machine for a long time. But this is pretty blatant, even for them. Now, I'm guessing that Bezos and the CIA were guessing that they don't need to even bother hiding such things anymore. And from the reaction, or the serious lack of same, I am now guessing that their guess was 100% accurate. Jeez, people. That's just silly. Now, I realize that the Thunderbolt is very hard on politicians. It is rumored that politicians are human. Others suggest that they lack certain qualities necessary for a strict interpretation of that designation. But be that as it may, I must admit that there are some convincing evidence, both empirical and circumstantial, to back this assertion. Well, so just in case they are actually human, then in order to show the common respect due to all humans, then I guess I must try to muster some sensitivity even to their lot in life. And thus, I will now give some proper due. For one thing, while I think most of you understand the money part of the equation, I suspect that most of you don't appreciate the great lengths and massive effort required in order to both achieve and then to maintain a position wherein you get paid the big bucks for never actually doing anything. Begging for money, press conferences, constant travel, begging for money, constant meetings, votes, begging for money, committee reports, begging for money, prodigious hand-shaking, floor votes, baby kissing, begging for money, swerving, lying, ass-kissing, phone calling, bribing, crying, begging for money, jumping, threatening, begging for money, cheating, smiling, begging for money, smiling, begging for money, smiling. All so that you can achieve a situation in life wherein you never actually do anything. How many of you could do this? How many of you would want to do this? Truly, how many have considered the prodigious effort these people expend in order to not do anything? And consider this. If they weren't not doing anything, then they probably would be doing something, which would very likely suck even more than their current practice of not doing anything. So maybe we should just go along and humor them until our revolution gets going good. So if some political genie gave me $10 million for any political campaign that I chose, I would choose to finance a campaign for instituting a Washington State Bank. That would represent a resounding blow right to the money throat. That would hit Wall Street, not only right in the pocketbook, but would also represent a powerful dropkick right in their power manipulation groin. That would be talking the talk and walking the walk. Okay, so I'm not the world's greatest metaphorist. So anyway, back in 1915, a bunch of socialists took control of the North Dakota state government. They established a state bank called the Bank of North Dakota. And then they disappeared from history. North Dakota has been enjoying the many, many, many benefits of the Bank of North Dakota ever since. They are almost completely out from under the thumb of the Wall Street machine. Because a large percentage of their money stays local. Yes, kids, rather than seeking ways to fleece you and your community, the Bank of North Dakota instead seeks to help their patrons and to build their state. North Dakota barely noticed both the Great Depression of 1929 and the Great Recession of 2007. And in fact, they have maintained a more or less happy, healthy economy throughout the nearly 100 years that they have had their state bank.
Now, there are many apples that don't relate to the oranges in other states, but most people are fine with either apples or oranges, which is another one of my awkward metaphors for saying that most of the differences are irrelevant. So the Washington State Bank campaign seems to have died. Well, I think it should rise again. So now, to finish off this segment, I'm going to tell you a few ways of how to tell that you are in trouble. You are in trouble when telling the truth becomes a subversive act. When the legends and stories that define your culture are all lies. When your president says that it's okay for him to murder people. When Wall Street is enjoying record profits. When you get up at 5 in the morning, you stumble into the kitchen to make coffee, but when you turn on the water tap, the water comes out underneath the sink instead of out of the faucet. Yes, kids, that happened to me this morning. The rest of the day has progressed more or less normally, though, so evidently that was not some ill omen. And so, on that cautionary tale, it's time to get to work now, kids.
But first, let's play some music. In fact, let's play some Olympia music. This is Kimya Dawson. Enjoy.
I go for a drive, I like to pull off to the side. If the road turn out, the lights get out and look up at the sky. And I do this to remind me that I'm really, really tiny in the grand scheme of things, and sometimes this terrifies me. It's only really scary cause it makes me feel serene in a way I never thought I'd be, because I've never been so grounded and so humbled and so one with everything. I am grounded, I am humbled, I am one with everything. Rock and roll is fun, but if you ever hear someone say you are huge, look at the moon, look at the stars, look at the sun, look at the ocean and the desert and the mountains and the sky. Say I am just a speck of dust inside a giant's eye.
I am just a speck of dust inside a giant's eye.
When I saw Genevieve, I really liked it when she said what she said about the giant and the lemmings on the cliff. She said I like giants, especially girl giants, cause all girls feel too big sometimes, regardless of their size. When I go for a drive, I like to pull off to the side of the road and run and jump into the ocean in my clothes. I'm smaller than a poppy seed inside a great big bowl, and the ocean is a giant that can swallow me whole. So I swim for all salvation and I swim to save my soul, but my soul is just a whisper trapped inside a tornado. So I flip to my back and I float and I sing. I am grounded, I am humbled, I am one with everything.
I am grounded, I am humbled, I am one with everything.
So I talked to Genevieve and almost cried when she said that the giant on the cliff wished that she was dead, and the lemmings on the cliff wished that they were dead. So the giant told the lemmings why they ought to live instead. When she thought of all the reasons that they ought to live instead, it made her reconsider all the sad thoughts in her head. So thank you, Genevieve, because you take what is in your head, you make things that are
are so beautiful and share them with your friends. We all become important when we realize our goal should be to figure out our role within the context of the whole. And yeah, rock and roll is fun, but if you ever hear someone say you are huge, look at the moon, look at the stars, look at the sun, look at the ocean and the desert and the mountains and the sky. Say, I am just a speck of dust inside a giant's eye.
I am just a speck of dust inside a giant's eye. I am just a speck of dust inside a giant's eye.
And I don't wanna make her cry, 'cause I like giants.
Yeah, motherfuckers! Get the fucking doors in!
Another perfect talk show, feeling inspired and powerful to go through corporate future in my head. And as I count the ways that I said fuck you to the man, I don't care if things that I've sold out or not. Since going barefoot I feel better, and Regina fucking Spector is a name I'll never be ashamed to drop. I saw that little weirdo walk into the open mic, sit down shyly at the piano and then start singing songs with charm and knowing, silly, sad and so mind-blowing, they were undeniably straight from the heart. And the music, it doesn't change. No, the songs remain the same. Whether there are zero people or there are a zillion people in the world, you are listening. Yeah, the music, it doesn't change. No, the songs remain the same. Whether there are zero people or there are a zillion people in the world, you are listening.
I have a friend named Ava, 17. She's a soprano. She sings opera with a voice that makes me cry. But she sings in competitions, and the kids at school give her shit. I wish that she could step back and close her eyes and feel the vibration of her voice inside her chest, without worrying about who thinks that she thinks she's the best. Well, it's hard when there are people who think that it's not enough, and there are people who think that it went too far. All I ever wanted was to not be suicidal, and I traded in my meds for a guitar. There's so much depression nowadays in adolescence, and with all the social pressure, that makes sense. But music shouldn't be the problem, music should be the solution, and only a positive experience. Because of music, it doesn't change. No, the songs remain the same. Whether there are zero people or there are a zillion people in the world who are listening. Yeah, the music, it doesn't change. No, the songs remain the same. Whether there are zero people or there are a zillion people in the world who are listening.
I have a friend named Johnny D. www.archive.org. I like sitting on the floor, watching Johnny play on his knees on a carpet, not on a stage, in front of a fire, in a living room, cozy and warm, full of potluck food. But if one day suddenly Johnny got huge, I'd be glad that you knew Johnny too. His songs are smart, important, brave. Wanting that all to myself would be totally lame. I don't claim to be Regina's only true fan, just because I knew her way back when. And you think Cat Stevens couldn't be my god, 'cause I heard him first in Harold and Maude. I bought all his albums, I listened, I cried. Teaser and the Fire Cat changed my life. I painted a fire cat on my jean jacket, drew peace trains on my homework packet. I'm still listening to the wind of my soul, and I'm a hard-headed woman, so I've been told. Yeah, music's just sound, we're just ears. Why are you affected by what who hears? If Michael Jackson's hits make him less sacred, you taking your clothes off makes me less naked. When you watch Teach preach, I'll make it or break it. Do you want to abstain?
No.
Repeat after me.
You can't like what you like.
You can't like what you like.
And let them like what they like.
And let them like what they like.
You can't like what you like.
You can't like what you like.
And let them like what they like.
And let them like what they like.
Boom, 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 shaka, 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 boom.
Like, love, love.
I love you, Mikey.
Go.
Jason, a little bit well done.
All right. Mommy. Here.
There's a mare at the fair on the merry-go-round. I rode the mare up and down and around and around. There was a bear at the fair and he had a lot of hair. And the bear rode the Ferris wheel with the mare. And they were friends forever. 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 There was a dog at the fair with the shaggy brown hair. He rode the merry-go-round with the mare and the bear. They were carnival princess was also there. And they were friends forever. 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 There was a cat at the fair with the jet black hair. He went to the show with the princess dog, mare, and the bear. They were in a circle pit, and they didn't have a care. As they danced all around with their fists in the air. And they were friends forever. And they were friends forever. And they were friends forever. And they were friends forever.
That was the mare and the bear. Before that, we had Zero or a Zillion. And we started off that set with I Like Giants. All of those from Olympia's own Kimya Dawson. So you're right on the deadline to make a tax-deductible contribution to your favorite radio station this year, which hopefully is the one you're listening to right now. And while I'm at it, the Pacifica stations are also in financial dire straits due to a libel lawsuit against WBAI in New York. And in fact, federal marshals recently seized over $300,000 from KPFA's account to pay WBAI's bills, largely because KPFA was the only Pacifica station that was financially solvent and thus able to pay their ransom. So that's it for this week's show, and I hope you're back next week, especially since I've got a whole brand new show almost ready to rock and roll. And if you enjoy listening to these half as much as I enjoy making them, then you have a good time. And one final thing, please keep in mind that the views expressed on the Thunderbolt are those of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station or anyone associated with this radio station. The Thunderbolt website is dana98501.wordpress.com. 98501 is the downtown Olympia zip code, if that helps you remember that. And you can contribute to the Thunderbolt cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. Glad you joined us this week. We hope to see you next week. And in the meanwhile...
Thank you very much.